Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. Today, I'm going to introduce you to someone who literally blows my freaking mind. And that's F-R-E-Q-I-N, freaking, okay? Her work has literally been featured in Cosmopolitan Magazine, The New York Times, Oprah Magazine, just to name a few. And her name is Kate Dodrell. And she's a visual artist, she's an urban farmer, and she's a writer. And she's really used her gifts not only to create this beautiful, meaningful artwork, but she's also kind of created this lifestyle for herself that really allows her to live and create in the most authentic, soulful of ways. You'll see what I mean. Guys, she's literally created her own farm in the heart of Detroit, where she grows her own food. Yeah. Yeah, in Detroit, in the heart of Detroit. And she has such love for people that she's cultivated this space for not only herself, but for her community to really dive deeper into their experience through healing meditation, yoga, and through just artistic expression. So as you know, the Love Freak is all about realigning with our true essence, which is love, right? And healing those parts of ourself that keep us separate from that love so that we can express ourselves in our truest form. And I'm bringing Kate to you today because she's someone that 100%, in my opinion, is doing that on all levels. So I'm really, really excited to share her with you today. So if you're looking to be inspired, today is the day. Kate, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I'm completely delighted to be here, Courtney. I can't wait to talk. And I'm just so amazed by your energy and your vision and grateful to be a part of it.
Thank you so much. Like, you are literally one of the most fascinating people I know. And I've known you a while. Like, we go way back. Kate and I, just so you guys know, we were in an organization together called Pride, which was a drug-free organization in high school. And we would go around from high school to high school and promote drug-free messages throughout all of high school. And you were always such a leader. You were older than me, just, you know, by a couple years. And I looked up to you so much because you were such a free spirit, and you always carved your own path. And you're still doing that to this day. So can you just tell us a little bit about your journey up to this point and kind of what led you to do all you do and what you create?
Absolutely. Well, I think since I was little that I could feel this like strong draw in me. It was kind of like a feeling in my belly and my heart that would kind of lead me in certain directions. And I was always, you know, when I followed it, the most beautiful things happened. And I think that was kind of this artistic spark that I had since I was little. And, you know, before I knew it was art, it was just this beautiful creative living, you know, as a kid and a teenager. And I got to college and I at first was going to study politics and political and social theory. I mean, which I did, but it
That's
evolved.
Fancy. I know.
But really, it was because I cared about people and I cared about what it means for people to live well. And I knew that there was this kind of just sense of well-being that all people deserved. And how do we cultivate? That was the question. So I thought, oh, we can do that through politics. I'm going to be a senator.
And to do that, I remember you wanting to be a senator.
Because I wanted to I wanted there to be a shift, or I wanted us to go from states we were in to better ways of being. But then I realized in college, as I started taking a few art classes, and I started to feel this profound sense of connection by listening even deeper to that voice in me that I'd heard since I was little. And I realized, wait a minute, so much of what I want to cultivate, actually we can do it from the inside out. You know, we need people doing it from the outside, making these structures, making these policies. But I realized my journey was just one that was deeply about listening to that creative essence and cultivating that sense of well-being from the inside out. So at that point, the art and that kind of like, how do you transform community energy? It blended together.
Something that is incredibly inspiring about all of that is, and is something I think we all have to cultivate inside of ourselves, is that knowing, that intuition. And you seem to, at a very young age, were able to tap into that knowing. You know, I think a lot of times it's so easy that we pick up habits from our parents or from society around us, and a lot of that hinders that intuition and that voice. Like, and that's something that you always stood out about you. Like I said, you were always carving your own path. You know, how did you know to listen to that at such a young age?
Well, I think we all come in with just different innate qualities and gifts we just come in with, and then others we cultivate. And we have the capacity to open to all of these extraordinary abilities and ways of connecting. But for me, I think I just did have this innate courage. Like, I could hear it, and I had the courage to just act on it. And then when I acted on it, I would feel the reward or the bliss or the beauty or that sense of well-being I was talking about. So it reinforced, okay, act on it, even if you're scared. And so that courage propelled me. But I think along the way, as you talk about what are those patterns we develop as children and just part of being human, I had so many patterns that were still making that process not comfortable and holding me back. Like, I still felt a lot of fear. I still felt a lot of like thinking, like overthinking. I still, it was easy to like take on some masks and perform. And yes, I would still take the step, but maybe not in the most authentic way my soul could. So even though I had that core ability to listen, like you're saying, we all have these things, these patterns that get in the way of it being the most pure, easeful version. So my journey's really been about letting those things go, you know, elevating the clarity of me, kind of shifting the distractions to the voice so that when I hear it, I can still have the courage, but it's just so much more comfortable. Like, I just listen.
Right. And so it's like you have to be brave enough, have the courage to take that first step to actually do something a little unique or outside of the box. And then when you see the reward from it, you say, oh, okay, I can do this again. Oh, I can do this again. Oh, I can do this again. And then here it becomes a lifestyle where you're just confident. You can trust yourself. You trust your abilities. Like, that's so beautiful. I mean, I can look back in my own life and just see so many times when I was a kid where I was scared. I wanted so bad to carve my own path, but it felt isolating and I didn't always take that. So I always looked up to you for that, for sure. And you really do a great job of that. So tell us a little bit about your art and kind of what inspires it and your creative process.
Well, as an artist, I use a lot of different mediums, everything from sculpture to installations to performative gatherings. And most of it, I realized along the way, it's really inspired by me sensing some unfulfilled need and then using what's around me to respond to it. And over time, as I look deeper at the projects and my work, I realized most of the time those unfulfilled needs were something inside of me that I wanted to connect to or cultivate. And as I started making these objects to help me connect more deeply, I realized there's this profound sense of presence and of peace and of satisfaction and connection that we all have the capacity to cultivate and connect to. And as I did it, I just realized that that's what I wanted my creative work to be moving me towards. And so really, it's almost like the idea for the project comes because there's some block and I want to get through it. So whether that's, well, my neighbors Wow. are connecting to each other, what can we do to make that happen? Or, oh, in myself, I sense this fear. How do I ground myself and calm these thoughts? And so most of the projects are just using my artistic tools, my like sense of beauty and harmony and performance and how space affects us and color to kind of ground us and open us to some sort of deeper sense of connecting.
That is incredible. So it's like you're using your art as a way of processing your world and the things that are inside of you that are happening. And it's like, I love how you called them blocks, because it's like that block is a wall. You're not afraid to walk up to that wall and tap on it and try to get through it. You are using your art to process it, mm-hmm. which then allows you to knock it down, work through it, talk about mm-hmm. it, share it through your art, and that that takes people to another level of consciousness when you're able to talk about those blocks and create art around those blocks. That's taking the outside world to a whole new level of consciousness through what you're able to process. Because I look at like the Love Freak and I'm like, yeah, we're trying to eliminate a lot of these blocks so we can create more authentic art. But really, processing, we don't want to eliminate all those blocks completely. We want to work through them so that we can use it as art and heal other people, mm-hmm. to raise other people in consciousness. And I think that is beautiful. I love that as a creative process, because, you know, a lot of times you ask people, like, what's your creative process? They're like, well, you know, I usually go and I meditate and I do that. And those are all great processes.
Right.
But to be able to acknowledge a block as a creative process and say, I want to work through that is amazing. That's like on a whole other level.
Well, I think we get to where we want to go, that sense of like connectedness and peace and flow and creativity and bliss. I think we go there faster when we just acknowledge what's getting in the way. And then we find a tool that can, or practice or a lifestyle or all of the above, that can help us just move through it more quickly. So a lot of that for me has really been about blending like the art of creativity with these powerful yogic meditative practices, with food, with connecting with other people through authentic conversation, and the kind of combination of all these kind of realms of this creative life force coming together, it really does dissolve these blocks quickly.
Well, and things like yoga and meditation, like all of that stuff makes you become aware. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about being in the moment. And a lot of times we go through life so unaware of a lot of the things that are blocking us or harming us or whatever, just because we're so busy. So with like yoga and meditation, that allows us to acknowledge the block. Mm-hmm. So that those are very important to the creative process, in the healing process, which allows us to create the art, right?
Totally.
So, but I just love the fact that that acknowledgement of the block is such a huge and hard part of the creative process, figuring out that need. And so, okay, I'm gonna switch the talk here for a second, because I think this is another really important thing. You moved to Detroit and you created a whole farm where you grew your own food and started, you know, developing all of these healthy eating habits based off of everything that you were growing. And that's called the Burnside Farm, yes? Mm-hmm. Burnside Farm. Okay. Tell us about that. Like, what led you to do that? How did you get to that point where you're like, I need to do this? This is the next step for me. This is what I need to do to kind of grow, be healthy. Tell us all about mm-hmm. that.
Well, I think it goes back to listening to the voice, because I didn't have intentions of being a farmer or even getting a house, but living in Detroit, I'd finished grad school and a house became available in my neighborhood. I actually bought it on an auction for $600.
Oh my God. That's okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
So it was kind of calling to me. And then it had these three lots next to it that were vacant land. And so I said, well, I guess this means I should make a garden. I was kind of presented with this opportunity, I started fixing up the house, started growing the garden, invited neighbors and friends to garden with me. And it's a very diverse neighborhood, like 30% folks from Bangladesh, 30% Black, 30% Yemeni and Ukrainian, and 10% other. And so just having this very diverse environment and all these people around me who also had little gardens and were taking care of themselves by growing their own food, living simply, you know, a working class neighborhood, it inspired me. My neighbors inspired me to try. So as I started gardening, I realized, I guess going back to the blocks, like how many layers of kind of resistance I held in my body. I noticed how much energy was in my mind versus in my heart and in my body.
Wow.
And I just started digging and digging, and I was around nature, and there was just this wholeness to it, that all the elements around me would just balance my physical body, you know? And as I saw the plants growing and I started eating them, it really taught me to cook. I knew how to go to a grocery store, the basic things my mom taught me, but just actually caring for something, putting your heart and your presence into it, seeing its life force, and then eating it and realizing, like, I had no idea tomato could taste like that, and feeling like the pleasure of your connection to that plant or that food, it just attracted me to continue learning and eating. And over time, that first year, I actually lost 15 pounds. Just
no way.
Yeah, just from moving my body, eating what was around me. You know, it wasn't an intense mission to not eat processed food, but it really just fell away because I realized, again, that sense of peace and like profound connection and openness I felt that more when I was eating food that was more pure. It wasn't spiking my blood sugar, which then maybe spikes the thinking, which then creates the fear. I realized that eating well could actually be a part of this like integrated approach to creating this well-being in me, that it would ground me, it would open me. And it very quickly, the gardening became a part of my art practice. I started creating little teepees of, you know, green beans that were art sculptures and putting lights in them and hanging ribbons. And I wanted to always create that sense of magic, but I realized, oh, the plants and the earth and these like healthy ways of being are becoming these collaborative forces in creating this bigger sense of just wonder and beauty.
Wow. I love that. And I love what you're saying about, first of all, you called, you know, the plants and everything the life force. And it's so cool. Like, everything's energy, right? Mm. And plants have such a beautiful, beautiful energy, grounding, like you said. Mm. And when you are putting that in your body, it only feeds you that energy, that grounding energy. And like you said, like processed foods, we go to the grocery store, even if we're buying produce, we're not necessarily buying it from the garden down the way, you know, which we don't know what it's been, what chemicals have been put into it or cleaned with. We, you know, there's so many sketchy things kind of about some of the foods that we buy. So to be able to grow it yourself from the ground itself with that pure life force, that can only fuel your body in a certain way to open yourself up to just a natural state of being, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
I love what you were saying about, you know, the processed foods, like, spikes your blood sugar. It makes you start making you think more, which leads to fear. It's like this whole other road that you go down. And when you start to go down that road, everything else starts to kind of get blocked again. You don't have that creative flow. You're not in that same creative space as you were. There starts to be a lot more getting stuck. I mean, I found myself, I was on the road touring for years, and I spent a lot of time eating, you know, McDonald's and Burger King and Taco Bell and all that stuff, just trying to feed myself on the road. It was easier, and we would get stuck in the middle of nowhere. And I was so exhausted, and I was getting sick all the time. And the last thing I wanted to do was come home and create a song. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wanted to – I didn't feel good. I wasn't healthy. I was gaining weight. My face was breaking out. Mm. You know, I wasn't right. Mm. So do you feel like all of this stuff has led you to a more profound sense of creativity and knowledge within yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like the process of learning to eat healthy has almost been like its own artistic project in a way. Like the clarity of listening to what I truly want to eat and what will truly balance me, whether it's balancing the hormones, calming my nervous system, you know, opening my heart. It's these subtle ways that we can come into balance. The food we eat really, really contributes to it. So the more I've kind of tuned in on an even deeper level to what really nurtures me and creates that sense of wholeness or well-being in me, the more my eating has evolved. So I'm completely with you. And I think it's a process. You know, we have patterns since we were young of certain things that bring us comfort or certain foods of our cultures. And so I've found a lot of ways to really incorporate the things I love about those types of recipes, but just shifted it to listen even more deeply to me. And when I'm in that state of clarity, like my body is in a clear place, like you said, the like creative energy comes through so much more easily.
It has more space too.
Totally.
I love that. We've talked a lot via text message about the whole Ayurvedic lifestyle, because it's something that I've really gotten into over the last little bit of time. And if you don't know what that is, I'll give you a brief rundown so you know. Ayurveda is just an ancient tradition that shows kind of the interconnectedness throughout all of life. It literally, the word Ayurveda literally translates to knowledge of life. And really it's just a wellness practice that, you know, works to bring unity within our inner and our outer world. So like if we have the five elements of nature, which are fire, air, water, earth, and space, Ayurveda kind of groups those elements into three basic energy types and functionalities within the body. And they call those elements doshas. And basically, we all can be categorized into one of those three doshas based off of our body type and the functionality of our body. So the three doshas are called vata, pitta, and kapha. And so if you're a pitta, for example, pitta is associated with fire and water. And so often people who have this body type have maybe a fast metabolism, they concentrate really well, or they have a really fiery or fighting type spirit. And if you have a pitta imbalance, you might suffer from like diarrhea, that's no fun, anger, rage, acid reflux, heartburn, anything associated with a fire or water element. But on the contrary, if you're like a vata, which is associated with space and air, vatas will be, you know, more light and airy and creative and energetic and oftentimes like forgetful or spacey, which I definitely fall into that category. But you get the idea. So basically, the whole Ayurvedic tradition believes that based on whatever energy type you are is how you should choose to eat, because they really believe that digestion is like the number one thing that keeps the body healthy and functioning. And I think the best way that I probably heard it described is that if our digestion was like a bonfire inside of all of us, we have to find the appropriate ways to keep that fire burning based off of the environment within ourselves, so that it doesn't get put out. So it really is truly fascinating. If that kind of intrigues you a little bit, you should definitely look it up. It's such a grounding, energizing way to approach our health and our diet. And Kate, I know with your garden, I know that you've kind of adopted some of these practices, right?
Yeah. Ayurveda, just as a system, has such a subtlety to it. It's like a brilliant subtlety that really is saying like, we are nature. And so when we tune into where our nature is in that day and we eat in a way to bring balance to it, we're going to feel more steady. We're going to feel, I keep calling it wholeness, but it's really this sense of balance that comes from, we're always changing, but if we can keep ourselves in flow where we're not, you know, going up and down too much, it's just a more gentle process of staying near our center.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah.
For me, the eating in the Ayurveda is definitely a part of my practice. I'm not solely eating Ayurvedically. I'm really also eating inspired by what is practically growing where I live. So it's like,
okay, that's
very place-based as well. But in learning about myself, like say if I have a nature that has a lot of fire in it, I know, oh, I don't need to heighten the fire in my digestion and my body by having spicy food. So I don't have any spicy food as part of keeping myself not fiery, not activating anxiety, keeping it like more mellow by eating more mellow food.
So it really is all about staying in that knowing and really being able to sit with yourself and say, okay, what, how am I responding to this situation? Do I have a lot of irritation in me? Have I been really aggravated? That's some of that fire, right? And being able to say, okay, how can I balance this out?
Exactly. So it's saying that we have all of these tools through food, but Ayurveda also says through meditation, through sleep, through like self-massage and nurturing touch, through like the temperature of our bath, but that like we actually are nature. And when we can listen to what we need and give ourselves, nurture ourselves back into balance, it just brings us into this incredible state. And it's a daily process. We're never just in balance and then we're done. So that's where I think the magic of the creative listening being like a daily process and the creative like listening to our own body and heart and soul and then nurturing us. It just becomes like a daily creative relationship with our own soul and body and mind.
I love that you say that we're nature. It really is kind of like, you know, watering plants. Like we're our own little plant. And I will tell you right now, I am a really bad plant mom. I literally try to have plants all around my house and they die almost instantly. So I'm like really blown away at the fact that you can have a whole garden that you set up and manage it without having every animal eat it or being able to, you know, water it. Like that takes a lot of effort. And how do you do that?
Yeah, it's definitely a process. And it has taken me a lot of time and energy over the past 10 years of growing it. It's really been like the hub of my creative work. But I think the way that I'm able to give it so much of my time and my presence is that, like I said at the beginning, I make it my art. Like I bring the joy of creating to it. And if I bring my real devotion and I like can connect to life, to can connect to the people around me, can connect to, more to my own body through nurturing these plants, like then I'm creating a life of nurturing, of love, where that's my frequency. So just by being around the earth, the plants, the diverse community around me, bringing my intention of like, how do we connect more deeply? How do we heal these things that get in the way of just experiencing the love that's all around us? You know, the practice becomes its own like pleasure by bringing my creativity to it and my love to it.
I love that so much. And when you're able to connect to that love and that presence so deeply, it fills you up to an extent that is so overwhelming that you can only share it. And that's another part of you that is so incredibly amazing is your outreach and how you have used your farm, how you have used your art to connect with other people. I saw that you created an organization called Soup. Can you tell us what that is all about and kind of how you came to do that?
Definitely. Well, that's a monthly dinner in Detroit. There are other soups all over the country. It's a model that I was inspired by and brought these dinners to Detroit where you come to the dinner, public dinner, pay $5, get soup, salad, and then you get to vote on a different creative project that people pitch to the audience. So whoever gets the most votes takes all of the money that was raised towards their project. They then come back and report about it. So it's a way for people to support each other, to learn about each other, to network. But really on a deeper level, it's about how we open ourselves to each other. And then how do we work together? What are the common values? What are the common goals? And there being space for dissent and debate and voting. And it's like that diversity coming together and finding the commonality. And when you do it around food and pleasure and joy and conviviality, it opens your heart. And then all of a sudden your heart's open and you're trying to support each other. And it's just so much easier to get things done when it's not just you, you know, versus self-sufficiency. So many of the projects have just naturally become about how do you create this community self-sufficiency? Like we do want to take care of ourselves, but throughout history, we see generally people are doing that together, whether it's in a family or a village, or there's elements of supporting each other. So that project has been very beautiful in Detroit. It's continued in its 10th year. And
no way.
Yeah, it's an organization now that's just doing incredible work. So really, I think a lot of the projects, like you said, they do come from like a deep curiosity and desire in me to connect more. But there's such an intention to say, how do we care for each other? Like when you care for yourself, you can't help but ask the question, well, how do we all get taken care of?
Yeah. Kate, you are such a great example, like I said, of kind of what the Love Freak is all about, where it's finding that knowing within yourself, having the courage to trust it, trusting that knowing so much that it leads you to create something unique. And then, you know, and then you, because you created something unique, it opened you up to a whole lifestyle of creativity and how to stay in tune with that creativity by eating well, by healing yourself through meditation, through yoga, through breath work, through working through blocks, and then connecting with that spirit and that energy so much that you give to your community and you bring people together and you are elevating everyone in consciousness just by being you and connecting to a higher frequency, like, you know, the Love Freak, and kind of elevating everybody else to that state of being. And I'm so fascinated by that and encouraged, and would love to have you on this show again, because so many people I think can be encouraged by you and can model, you know, their experience off of kind of your bravery. So thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love sharing, and I love how you distilled just such a beautiful way of living. And it's totally led me to where I hoped I would be, you know, when I started the artistic practice, and I really did live my way into an answer. So I really just want to honor, you know, the process, the challenges. It's a continual refinement process. But to everyone out there who just wants that sense of peace on a daily basis and wants that like beauty of creative connection running through them, I just want to say, like, it really is possible to create a lifestyle where you feel grounded in it, and that there are always challenges, but that peace can be our reality. So I just honor my whole journey, and I'm so grateful for the chance to just share and connect with you around it.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.